there's nothing in the bill that's going to contain costs. And so all we're really doing is telling people, you got to purchase it. You know, what we would like to have seen is more some legal reforms, some ways to allow businesses to pool together across state lines in order to have a larger group size, in order to bring costs down. There's really nothing in this bill that contains costs. But what the thought process was is if we force everybody to buy insurance, which means the healthy people too, they're all going to be pulling that cart. They're all going to be pulling the wagon, and so costs will go down for everybody. And we just don't believe that that's the case.
If the individual mandate is struck down by the Supreme Court, but the rest of the law remains intact, is that a victory for NFIB, or are there still too many things that you consider noxious?
While our lawsuit is based on the individual mandate, we have also made it very clear in our briefs to the various courts and now, of course, to the Supreme Court that we believe that without the individual mandate, the rest of the law just doesn't work. It's all predicated on the individual mandate. And so if the Supreme Court agrees with us and believes that the government can't compel people to buy something, then the rest of the law should be struck down as well. There are some things certainly that have already taken place that are positive for a lot of people. For instance, removing of pre-existing conditions. So no longer can an insurance company deny you health insurance because you are diabetic. And that's certainly positive. One of the other items that was already law in Illinois that was part of Obamacare was saying that adult children up to the age of 26 could stay on a parent's health insurance plan. Those things could possibly stick around. But I think the basic tenets of Obamacare would crumble if the individual mandate is found to be unconstitutional.
If your argument convinces the Supreme Court, what do you see as a plausible future attempt at improving health care coverage in the U.S.?
One of the things that we have pushed for many years, and that's this whole idea of banding together across state lines. Part of what causes health insurance in Illinois to be so expensive is because we have so many health care mandates. For instance, one of them in Illinois that is somewhat unique to Illinois is the idea of in vitro fertilization. So in Illinois, every policy that's sold says that you have to cover in vitro fertilization, whether the person buying that product wants it, needs it, or can afford it. We have about 26 of those in Illinois, and those all add cost to health insurance. Our idea is to say we're going to let small business owners form a big purchasing pool that would not be subjected to state law, but be subjected to federal law. You know, we need to let the marketplace work.
So if we're talking about businesses, say businesses just in Illinois, is that simply too small a territory for businesses to band together and self-insure? Or are you saying that some of the specific mandates in Illinois are just too much?
Well, kind of both. We do have the ability in Illinois to form a small group health plan, and some associations have tried it. So maybe the first year or two, premiums are affordable, but because the group's not as large as it could be if you were on a national scale, the minute you start getting big experiences like cancer or some other very costly experience, of course, the premiums go up. So what happens is then all the healthy people in that pool, they go down the street and buy another product, and that pool is left with a lot of sick people, and of course that's expensive, and it's called the death spiral. And so a lot of the pooling efforts that have been tried in Illinois by different associations have failed. And so that's why we believe that just from an economy of scale, that on a national level, number one, you'd obviously have a lot more lives to insure, but number two, you also wouldn't be subjected to state law.